Welcome back to Soccer Card United. It's episode 215 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. And today, there's no Enzo. It's a solo show for me. So if you want to just go ahead and click off the episode now, Enzo is back on Thursday for episode 216. If not, just to give you an idea of what I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to be talking about the F1 event that we went to last weekend. The new hobby media organization, Collect Media, and then a couple of football stories, which you can stick around for too if you like. You know, I won't be offended if you just go ahead and click off now, because tonight, I keep saying tonight because it's late when I'm recording this. I'm recording this late. For the listeners, you're lucky, because the viewers are just seeing my giant face. You see my giant, I'm zoomed all the way in on my face. I have no lights on in my room, just the horrible white glare, the kind of bluey white glare of my computer monitors. All I have for company is the reflection of my computer in my glasses, my Chicago Cubs hat, And you, dear listener. So I would recommend, if you're watching this, I'll just look in the camera for a second. If you're watching this, this would be a great... You can't even see my... Okay, there we go. If you're watching this, feel free to just listen to this episode. Maybe just click off the tab or open it on Spotify or something, because this is very intimate, what we're doing. This is extremely intimate. I think you'd be a lot more comfortable if we didn't have to kind of, you know, don't look at my, I didn't put any makeup on. I'm in kind of, you know, at least 720p. So it's not good. I realize that. But anyway, so Enzo's in Madrid. I believe he's going to see Manchester City play Real Madrid at the Bernabeu tomorrow night. But if he does, he can tell us all about that on Thursday. In the meantime, we were in England last Friday, at a Topps F1 event. So Topps had this event, we talked about it before, where they were having people over to Silverstone, which I guess is the home of British motorsport. It's where the British Grand Prix is. And it was like this kind of like invite. Some people got invitations, a couple of people got invitations. Some people won a raffle. And then there was us, and we were snuck in by one of the raffle winners who won tickets, Momo Lass, who was very, very kind to share his tickets with us. And we inquired as to whether or not we could go under his name, and that was deemed to be okay. So there we were, and it was a very interesting event. It was very cool. It was like, so we had kind of the Silverstone Museum was open after hours for the event. And you could walk around and look at all the exhibits, obviously, without, you know, the general public there. Ooh, thank God. And then there was like a dinner, and there was, you know, drinks and all that kind of stuff. And a couple of very exciting things happened. One was that there was a product announcement. So the F1 brand team for Topps were there, and they announced that we were getting two new F1 hobby products this year. So one was a paddock. One is Paddock Pass, which is their version of Stadium Club. So it's going to be, you know, I assume it's going to be candid photos and that kind of thing. Then we're also getting a Finest, an F1 Finest. Now, obviously, the instant question that comes up with Finest is it going to be an auto per mini box? I don't know if this was confirmed tonight. I'm pretty sure it's going to be an auto per master box. But we did hear that everything, including release dates, we heard like kind of like July, August, September kind of time for releases and stuff like that. But we did hear that whether it be the configuration of the boxes, the exact makeup, the cards themselves, whatever, the date, release date, it's all to be confirmed. The only thing they can confirm at this stage is that those two products are coming this year. So that was very exciting. And then Jessica Hawkins, who is a driver ambassador for Aston Martin, and a test driver and a stunt driver and all sorts of stuff, She came out and she did like an interview, which was very, very, very interesting. And then she was kind of presented with this F1 card, and she's the first female driver to be getting a Topps F1 card. So it was very nice. And there was a break. There was a Sapphire break and a Chrome break. And we got, Enzo got the pick of the bunch. He got an OV 25 Sapphire of an F2 driver. We got a great GIF of Enzo celebrating that. Very exciting. And yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun, I have to say. You can see, there we are. Look, we went to the old Silverstone mega shop and got a couple of F1 jackets. I'm going to just give you a little peek behind the curtain there. We did not bring those jackets. When we traveled from Ireland, we were not wearing those F1 jackets. We got them to look the part, as they say. And I like to think that we've done an okay job there. And this is the kind of the breaking news. We got to do the breaking news. So yeah, very, very exciting stuff. That was good fun. I'm sure if Enzo listens to this, or even if he doesn't listen to this, he's going to come back on Thursday and have all sorts of additional details to tell you, which I either don't want to go into now or forget. So anyway, we may talk more about that on Thursday, but it's really cool. I love to see these kind of events going on. I just think that's like such a good way to grow the hobby. And yeah, the more the merrier when it comes to this kind of stuff. So if I'd like to know what people think of these events though, like obviously, you know, we were kind of the exception. I think we're the only people that kind of came in from outside the UK. Momo last reached out and was like, are you guys close to Silverstone? And we were like, I don't know, kind of, I guess we can fly. It's a short flight to Birmingham or to Luton. And then we can head over there. So we were just kind of lucky enough that we didn't have anything on our schedule and we were able to kind of last minute go. Obviously it would be different, you know, if there's kind of scheduling conflicts or people can't go, but like in general, I think these are a great event. These are a great idea. I'm talking too much because Enzo's not here. Usually he's here to interrupt me and I can gather my thoughts. Okay, listen, I heard Darren Rovell, the collectibles journalist, maybe the only serious collectibles journalist, serious as in taken seriously by the mainstream media out there. I heard him on Sports Card Nonsense earlier with Mike and Jesse talking about Collect Media, which is his new media company for the hobby that we talked about recently. And they launched their site. So that was today, April 8th was their launch day. So let's go and have a look at the hobby's latest media venture. So nice website here. I would say this design probably inspired by The Athletic, maybe. It's very kind of like The Athletic. Also kind of a new media sports journalism company. What do you got here? So we have auctions. So you have your auction news. Cards. Confused about what these tabs are. I guess as they add more content, it needs to be, you know, segmented more and more. Autographs. The top 10 most valuable, rarest autographs. By the way, it's not an ad for Collect Media. I'm just... Stephen Hawking. Okay. Right. Tickets. Yeah. Game one. So this isn't... Oh, I see what's happening. Sorry. So auctions, trading cards, autographs, tickets, and game one. These are all different collectible categories. So it's not just for sports cards, this. It's for collectibles in general. And then we have your news section down here. A Mickey Mantle Type 1 photo sells for record $843,750 at auction. A Type 1 photo record. What's a Type 1 photo? Type 1s are considered first generation photographs, meaning they were developed from the original negative within 2 years of when the picture was taken. Okay. Interesting. Memorabilia thief details heist in 60 minutes interview. Meet the man who always believed in the world's most expensive comic book. It's very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff indeed. So I heard Darren Revell on Sports Card Nonsense. I guess he's been making the rounds, not just on kind of hobby media, but also like he was on CNBC. You see him in, you know, I don't know, the likes of Business Week, Bloomberg. Is that, these are the kind of places you'd see him? I don't know. But yeah, he's been talking ESPN, maybe, I don't know. But he's been doing the rounds because he's kind of a known figure. And plugging this thing, they have apparently an office in Times Square. They got $4 million behind them. And last night they broke a story on a record-setting $250,000 Connor McDavid jersey sale. Only Wayne Gretzky's NHL jerseys have sold for higher. That's Will Stern, who's also on the Collect team. I see them there on something called Collect TV or Kilk TV. Anyway, I think this is good. I like to see more hobby media, as I said before. And the big test for them is whether or not they do enough soccer stuff. That's my big test. Maybe I'll write in. Maybe, is there a letters to the editor section? Let me check the website. Is there a letters to the editor? Contact us, I guess, is the... If you have a story we should be aware of or something we got wrong, drop us an email. Want to tell us about your collection or your hunt for that one collectible? Tell us your stories. They might just end up in our coverage. Interesting stuff. Okay, so I guess everyone can email Collect and say, soccer cards. Talk about it. Yeah, okay, let's move on to a couple of football stories. I don't know if you saw Athletic Club Bilbao won their first Copa del Rey in 40 years the other night against Real Mallorca. RCD Mallorca. I guess no one calls them. Yeah, Real Mallorca. Yeah. I don't know why I doubt myself there. Yeah, they won. Athletic Bilbao won on penalties. Actually, they had to come back because Mallorca went up 1-0 up and they had to come back through Oyan Sanset, who's a very exciting attacking midfielder. Ernesto Valverde is their coach. Definitely, probably. Wow, I'm really on form tonight. Definitely, probably. The greatest coach, or maybe the second greatest coach in Athletic Club Bilbao history, Ernesto Valverde. You may remember him from his time at Barcelona, which is a tragedy, really, because you should know him from his time at Athletic Bilbao. Anyway, so they won 4-2 on penalties. Mallorca kind of crumbled in the penalty shootout, but, you know. Listen to this. This is a brilliant article by Sid Lowe. It was at the Estadio La Cartuja in Seville. And Sid Lowe, in his Guardian report on the match, he's a brilliant writer, that guy. 40 years and it all came down to a single kick. At 10-1 in the morning in Seville, Alex Berenguer stood by the penalty spot, handed one shot, one opportunity to seize everything they ever wanted. Across 4 decades and 5 consecutive defeated finals, Athletic Club had never been closer. Had been close, but never as close as this, and they were not going to let go, not now. Berenguer skipped to one side, ran towards the ball, smashed it into the bottom corner of the net, and just kept on running, over the advertising boards, across the track, and towards the thousands and thousands of fans celebrating their first major trophy in a generation. Now listen, I'm not going to read you the whole article, but I highly recommend you go and read Sid Lowe on the Copa del Rey final. Of course, one of the great subplots of Athletic Bilbao over the last few years has been Iñaki Williams and his younger brother Nico Williams. And their brilliant story of coming to the Basque Country and being icons there. And there was great images. I don't know if you saw these of the two celebrating afterwards and just, you know, kind of embracing each other. I mean, imagine what that would be like to celebrate with your brother after winning the first Copa del Rey for the club in 40 years. Wow, pretty incredible moment. I have to say that before the emergence of Nico Williams, I kind of considered Iñaki Williams to be a kind of a great, loyal servant to Athletic Bilbao, but sort of like he couldn't hit a barn door. And the emergence of Nico Williams and playing with his brother and getting a little bit older as well and kind of being one of the senior men in the club, obviously has a great, you know, record of staying power and appearances and all that stuff, and famously never missed a game for ages and ages and ages. But since his brother has kind of burst onto the scene and he gets to play with Nico, I have to say Iñaki is not the same player as he was when I kind of watched him, you know, three years ago or 4 years ago. He had kind of, he had burst onto the scene himself. He had established kind of what player he was. His finishing and his end product was always in question. And it kind of just looked like he was going to maybe, you know, score 7 or 8 goals a season for, you know, a few years and then maybe leave the club or not be able to compete at the highest level. But Athletic, who were obviously limited in their recruitment, and obviously saw something in him that I didn't see, being the feeble-minded, fickle, facile individual that I am. But then with Nico coming, he just kind of seemed, and the return of Ernesto Valverde, he just seemed kind of reborn. So it's very, very happy for Iñaki Williams, because I watched him kind of scuff a lot of chances and kind of huff and puff for a long time and do a lot of good running, but never really get there. And it's just it's a fantastic club, Athletic Bilbao. It's a lovely stadium. San Mamés, it was also full. Obviously, the game was in Seville, but San Mamés was full. They were all watching it on the TV screen in Bilbao and seemed to be having a great time. I'd recommend going to watch a match in Bilbao if you ever got a chance. I tell you what, let's just finish up here. I'm sure you're absolutely sick and tired of me. Let's finish up here by just previewing very quickly. I'll just use this as kind of jumping off point to talk about some football stories. The European quarterfinals that are coming. So, this is tomorrow, Tuesday. We have Arsenal hosting Bayern Munich at the Emirates for their first leg of the Champions League quarterfinal. Obviously, they got beaten in 2017 5-1 home and away by Bayern, and in 2015 got beaten 5-1 in the away leg, and even though they beat Bayern in the home leg. But 3 consecutive defeats, 5-1 in the Champions League by Bayern Munich a few years ago. It was a different Arsenal that was late. That was late Wenger, or was it Unai Emery? Was he there yet? Who was there? Who was the manager? Can I see? Arsene Wenger. Yeah. Look at that team in 2017 when they got beaten 5-1. Laurent Koscielny, Shkodran Mustafi, Aaron Ramsey, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Theo Walcott played in that game. My God. Yeah, so that was a very different Arsenal and a very different Bayern Munich. Arsenal have been incredible this season. I saw them play against Brighton there at the weekend, and just an incredibly commanding performance. They just look like they're growing into themselves, like they're... I'm not doing much to kind of allay the rumors that I'm a closet Arsenal fan. I swear I'm not. But yeah, I'm excited to see this. Obviously, not the same Arsenal as lost 5-1 to Bayern back in 2017. 5-1 twice, lost 10-2 on aggregate. But not the same Bayern Munich either. Very, very different Bayern Munich. Thomas Tuchel has struggled to get anything out of this team at all, apart from Harry Kane, who should have considerably more goals than he does have, but hasn't been really, I don't think, integrating well with the squad, or the squad haven't been integrating well with him, I should say. So yeah, very, very interested to see how this goes tomorrow at the Emirates. I imagine Bayern will struggle to get away with a positive result. The one thing they have in their favour is that the Bundesliga is over for them, and they got beaten by Heidenheim, who are in themselves a great story in Germany this year. They got beaten by Heidenheim, and now only have the Champions League to play for. Arsenal, on the other hand, they're locked in a titanic title race with City and Liverpool in the Premier League. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. The other game is Real Madrid versus Manchester City. We will let Enzo tell us what happens in that game. He will be in the city. We'll let him see what happens in that game. As we know, the last... 2 times these teams have faced each other in the knockouts Champions League, they've gone on to win the competition, whoever comes out on top of that fixture. So that'll be an interesting one for sure. We'll see if Haaland can get back to scoring form at the crucial time. On Wednesday, we have Atletico Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund. Obviously, I'm an Atletico Madrid fan. And I wish I was confident here, but I just think that the kind of the amazing achievement of knocking out Inter, who were last year's finalists, obviously, in the fashion that Atletico did when they got them back to the Metropolitano in the round of 16. It's almost like, you know, the problem when you have a victory like that sometimes in a season or in a knockout or in a cup is that that can almost seem like that was the moment. And that was kind of the high point. That's what this campaign will be remembered for. And it's how do you take a kind of an incredible comeback like that and say, okay, that's great, but now we're only in the quarterfinals and it's Dortmund and we should put them away pretty easily. You know, I don't want to see Jadon Sancho and, you know, Julian Brandt and Karim Adeyemi looking like, you know, Neymar, Suarez and Messi at the Metropolitano. But I have a feeling that I have an even worse feeling about the return leg at the Signal Iduna Park, but I won't even go into that right now. All I will say is that if you're placing bets, I would not advise you to back Atletico to go through in this tie, even though all sense says they probably should. Also, we have PSG versus Barcelona. Kylian Mbappe trying to sign off from PSG with a Champions League before he goes to Real Madrid in the summer. Luis Enrique trying to build a post Mbappe PSG, even as that other storyline is taking place. Barcelona desperately in need of cash, desperately in need of qualification as far as they can go into this competition to get those 5 million and 10 million from UEFA, but also completely lacking in players. I'm looking here: Pedri, thigh injury; Gavi, cruciate ligament injury; Frenkie de Jong, ankle injury; Andreas Christensen, Achilles tendon injury; Alex Balde out for season as well. So, it'd be very interesting to see who exactly plays on Wednesday for Barcelona. Meanwhile, for PSG, you have Achraf Hakimi is suspended for the game and Warren Zaïre-Emery is doubtful. So we might see Warren Zaïre-Emery, might see Pedri, and we won't see Gavi and we won't see Achraf Hakimi. But that, I think, is going to be... That has the feeling, because Mbappe's been taken off a few times over the last little while and there's kind of a bit going on, I think that has the feeling of a classic Mbappe performance against Barcelona. Although you never know with Xavi's Barcelona. You just never know. You know, João Felix might decide to play. Lewandowski might, you know, terrorize Marquinhos and company. Who knows? But exciting nonetheless. PSG only managed to draw the other night against Clermont, and they played a heavily rotated team in Liga because they're running away with the title. And the I'm trying to think who it was. Oh, the Le Havre manager came out afterwards after the game and said that PSG are making an absolute mockery of Liga because they played such a heavily rotated team against Clermont, who were in a relegation battle, so are Le Havre. But in the earlier part of the season, when Le Havre were playing them, they needed kind of to get points together and run away with the title. So Le Havre had to play against, you know, all the heavy hitters, but Clermont got a soft touch and that this was ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And I just didn't think that really held much water as an argument. On Thursday, we have the Europa League and the Europa Conference League, AC Milan versus Roma in an all-Italian quarterfinal, AC Milan and AS Roma. I saw Roma in the Derby della Capitale against Lazio, and they look good under De Rossi. They've got fight, they've got bite, but they also have some really good patterns of play. Pellegrini and Dybala and Lukaku all looking good. Tammy Abraham is back. He came back there against Lazio the other night. But then Milan look very good as well. Christian Pulisic looks excellent. Rafa Leão starting to put himself about a bit. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, we know, has been having a good season for them. And Olivier Giroud, who I believe is going to the MLS. He signed with LAFC, was it? Going to join his compatriot Hugo Lloris. Does he play for LAFC? I don't know. I'm not wearing my LA hat tonight, so I don't know. Bayer Leverkusen, the mighty Bayer Leverkusen, only one win away from the Bundesliga title, I believe. Is that right? They're taking on David Moyes' West Ham. And so we'll have to see how that goes for West Ham. Leverkusen won't walk that game. They've had to come back, I think, in consecutive Europa League fixtures. But they always seem to do it. They always seem to have a goal in them. I saw a crazy statistic that, like, Patrick Schick has scored goals only after the 85th minute, or only winners or only equalizers after the 85th minute or something for them. So they've been finding goals from all over the pitch. If you haven't seen much of Bayer Leverkusen, this game against West Ham will be one to watch. Frimpong on the right and Grimaldo on the left. I can't believe Grimaldo was able to go to Leverkusen from Benfica like that. That was mad. Someone should have picked him up. He's excellent. I believe Victor Boniface is back in the squad as well. So that'll be obviously, unless you're a fan of one of the other teams, I'd be kind of thinking Bayer Leverkusen versus West Ham to watch on Thursday night. Enzo's not here again, so I can say that because he's not going to mind about the recommendation against watching AC Milan. Benfica versus Marseille. Who knows how that could go? Those two teams have had kind of spotty records this season. And Benfica had a game against Sporting Lisbon the other night and lost it 2-1 thanks to a 91st minute from Catamo. Gany Catamo from Mozambique, the 23-year-old for Sporting Lisbon, scored a brace. He scored in the first minute and he scored in the 91st minute, which is, I always love that kind of stuff. But yeah, he's a 23-year-old. 5 goals and 3 assists and 14 starts this season for Sporting Clube de Portugal. He put a dent in Benfica's hopes for the title. Sporting CP are now well ahead after that big 6-pointer at the top of the Liga Portugal. Victor Gyökeres as well was playing for Sporting Lisbon the other night, and Victor Gyökeres is 25, but if you remember his stats for Coventry last season and you look at his stats for Sporting Lisbon now, I don't believe they're going to have him next season. Surely someone's going to come in and spend 100 million on Victor Gyökeres. And he doesn't have any cards, I don't think, because he's been playing. He was a Brighton player on loan a few places, including Coventry. I think we're going to get Victor Gyökeres rookie cards. I hope we do. And obviously, there might not be a huge clamour for them. But if he hasn't had any cards up to this point and he then goes on to have he's kind of just hitting his goal scoring prime now, if he follows the kind of classic striker pattern, maybe could be a good one to keep an eye on. Marseille, how are Marseille doing? Let me just double check here. They got beaten 3-1 by Lille. They were on a good run for a while because they got a new manager. They got a caretaker manager in who I believe was the manager of the Ivory Coast sacked after the group stage of AFCON. I can't remember his name. And they were putting on together a good run there for a while, shooting up the table. And then they got beaten by Villarreal, Rennes, PSG and Lille all in a row in the Europa League and in Ligue 1. And it's not going to get any easier when they travel to the Estadio de Sport de Lisboa e Benfica, a.k.a. the Estadio de Luz, in Lisbon. That'll be kind of a real Europa League heavyweight clash. Can you have a heavyweight clash in the Europa League, a middleweight clash? And then Liverpool, who are a lot of people's favorites for the competition, are playing host to Atalanta at Anfield. But like we talked about with Arsenal, they're preoccupied at the minute, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of team they put out. Let me see. Conference League to finish up. What have we got in the Conference League? Olympiakos, Fenerbahce. Oh, Greece, Turkey. Always fiery. Victoria Pilsen versus Fiorentina. Tough place to go, the Czech Republic. Aston Villa versus Lille. Jonathan David masterclass. Ollie Watkins masterclass. And Club Brugge or Club Brugge versus Pauk Thessaloniki FC. I can honestly say I don't know how either of those teams are doing recently. Let's see. Club Brugge just beat Anderlecht the other day. With one goal from Brandon Michele and 2 goals from Rafael Onyedika, who has 2 goals and 2 starts. Oh, this is a playoff. Belgium's so difficult to look at stats for because they break their season up into a million little pieces. Haven't heard much from Antonio Nusa recently, but would love to see how he gets on in this game, because he seems to be putting in good performances from what I hear and creating a lot of chances, a lot of good runs, stuff like that. Where are Brugge in the Belgian? Right. They're in the playoff championship group, 5 points behind joint leaders Union Saint-Gilloise and Anderlecht. Okay, and how are Pauk in Greece? They're top of the they're top of the table. They're ahead of AEK Athens, Panathinaikos, and Olympiakos. So, interesting one there as well. But I think on Thursday night, is there any early matches? I love when there's an early match. A double bill of European football. That's what I like. Oh, it's Fenerbahce and Victoria Pilsen. So Fenerbahce and Olympiakos and Victoria Pilsen, Fiorentina are the early games. So I think Olympiakos versus Fenerbahce, followed by Leverkusen and West Ham. That'd be my recommendation for a bit of Thursday night viewing. Champions League, I leave it completely up to you. It's your discretion what you watch. Anyway, we're back on Thursday with Enzo. No more of this bloody ridiculousness, me just rambling on to myself in this horrible heart. Seriously, for the listeners, the light is just awful. I feel like, yeah, so this is just about finished. Back on Thursday, Enzo's back. He can tell us all about how he got on in Madrid. We'll talk about the results of the Champions League. We'll talk about any card news that comes out in the meantime. Yes, thank you for listening. We never say thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching from me personally, because I had to do this one solo. So, yes, have a good week, and we'll see you on Thursday.